In Ephesians 5:18 it says this, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody or music in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Father, I want to ask you right now that you would use this time in your word to animate us and to fill us in a powerful way. I want to ask, Lord, for the filling of the Holy Spirit in a discernible way for every single person in this room this morning. I ask that not a single person would get out of this place without sensing that you're filling them. Now use this time in your word to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage is about filling. It's about being full of something, being full of God's Spirit. But you know that there are things that you can fill yourself up with that can kill you. Have you ever thought about that before? That there are things that you can drink. I've heard of people who literally drank too much liquor and killed themselves in doing it because your body can only take so much liquor. You can fill yourself up with something that can kill you. I quite like going to the beach, and if I'm out there in the waves and I get caught in a riptide and get pulled far out into the waves, after a while I lose my strength, and as I begin to go under, I take something into my lungs that's never intended to go into my lungs. I take H2O with some sodium in it as well, and I take that into my lungs and it will kill me. If you fill yourself up with the wrong things, it can kill you or it can bring some serious harm to your life. I think that human beings are made to be filled. We are all in search of filling ourselves. In fact, there's no way that we're not trying to fill ourselves with something. The question is, with what? What are you trying to fill yourself up with? We talked about that last week. Some more of what we're going to be talking about and looking at is that staying filled with the right thing is often the best way of keeping yourself from filling up on all the other things that are harmful to you. And that's part of what the Apostle Paul is getting at with the passage that he is contrasting being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. That you can be filled with stuff, but if you're being filled with the Spirit, if that's a continual process for you, the best thing for you, then you're not going to be searching for other things to fill you in the same way that you naturally would. Are you with me so far? All right. So this morning, what we're going to look at here is that this idea that since we will fill ourselves up with something, it's important for us to tank up, to fill up, and to be continually filled with God's best, His Holy Spirit. And he talks about what it means here in this passage, and we're looking at more, as an extension of last week, more of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That brings me into verse 18, and I'm going to use a little bit more literal kind of a read on this. The way that I'm saying this is sort of a hybrid between the ESV and the literal Greek in this whole thing, because the sense of the Greek is important in this passage. He says this, "And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, squandering your life, wasting your life. It puts you in a place far from God. That wastes your life by getting drunk on wine, but instead..." The word here is be being filled with the Spirit. So last week we looked at this idea of the contrast between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit, that there's something similar about those two things that Paul would even contrast and compare them. That we saw that sometimes when people are drunk, actually frequently, they're really joyous. You know, that people that are sad sacks all the time, that they get drunk and they just become all of a sudden really enjoyable and really brave. And really uninhibited and confident, and so much so that they do stupid things. And that's like being filled with the Spirit, because when you're filled with the Spirit, you become joyful. You become bold and brave in a way that's not your normal course or the normal way that you are. You become uninhibited and unafraid, all by being filled with the Spirit. Now, they're similar in terms of the way that they might look, but for very different reasons. Being drunk is you're unafraid because you've actually depressed and you're out of touch with reality. Therefore, you can be uninhibited and unafraid. But with the Spirit, now I'm much more in touch with reality that God is gigantic, that He is interested, that He is involved, that He's powerful, and that He can do it. And so I'm bold and unafraid being filled with the Spirit because of the way that things really are rather than the things that really aren't. And so Paul says to us in this passage and to these early Christians that we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. By way of review, we saw that that's a command. So it's something that, and when God commands you to do something, it's in the imperative, it's a mandate. When we don't do those things, it's called what? Yeah, disobedience, isn't it? So when God commands us to do things, and Father knows best, every single thing that the Lord asks us or calls us to do, not asks, but commands us to do, is always in our very best interests. And so when we yield to these things, it's always, always, always good for us. So it's a command to us. It's something that is supposed to be ongoing and repeated. It's in the present tense, and it is something in the passive sense in that it is something you actively do that lets the Holy Spirit fill you. There's a yielding in this. We saw also, because some of you weren't here last week, and I'm trying to get us all into the same frame of reference, a biblical frame of reference. I talked about a spectrum, if you will, of Holy Spirit activity in the life of a believer. We talked about this idea that when you come to Christ and you open the door to Jesus and you see that you need a Savior and you invite Him in to save you from your sins and to bring you into His family and to make you and to give you an eternal home in heaven. That when you do that, you open up the door. It says in the Scripture that He sends the Holy Spirit as a down payment and as a seal in us of something that is to come. But that's not all. There's a big group of the body of Christ that would say that that's all that there is. But the Scripture talks on a compendium or on a spectrum of activity of the Holy Spirit, that in Acts 2, we see a group of people that are already saved get empowered or baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. So I call the first one that you're sealed when you're saved. The second one, the second dimension, if you will, of the Holy Spirit's overall working in our lives is an empowering experience. A third would be sort of the ongoing sense of this empowering experience, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon you at different times. In the Scripture, it talks about this throughout the book of Acts, but it also happens in the Old Testament as well. The Spirit of God descends on King Saul, a very flawed and bozo leader, and he does these great things because God's Spirit has fallen upon him. And the Spirit will come upon you and you will be able to do things that you wouldn't normally do, let's just say. And I'll call that anointings or impetus, if you will. That these kind of provide some drive, special drive in situations that you don't have the resource for, and God provides the resource for that. Spiritual gifts in the same category. The Spirit of God comes and gives somebody a prophecy, and they, by out of that filling, they give a prophetic word. Another dimension of that might be having a power encounter at church. Some of you, I've watched you as you've worshiped, and you perhaps have trembled under the power of the Spirit, or you've fallen down under the power of the Spirit. These are biblical things, and they are temporary and can happen at any point in time. So in this third category, these are just the sort of normal, powerful movements of the Holy Spirit giving us something that we don't necessarily have in that moment. Are you with me so far? This particular passage that we're talking about is not talking about any of those things, but is still on the same spectrum. That is that the Holy Spirit wants to come and continuously and normatively fill us so that we live a life of fullness, because if we don't, we tend to live a life of emptiness. And that He intends to come and fill us all the time. Now, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to shake. I think that this particular thing is more Clark Kent and the other ones are more Superman, if you will, in terms of their general, the general way that the Holy Spirit expresses Himself in this. So those are a spectrum, if you will, of what being filled with the Holy Spirit might mean. In this particular passage, however, Paul talks about five ways that we practice being, and what we talked about last week was these things that we intentionally do that make us fillable. And that, and I think we have to know this, that the Lord wants to fill you and I with the Holy Spirit more than we want to be filled. Very important to this whole thing. It's not like the Lord's going, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, nah, maybe yes, no. No, the Lord is sitting poised, wanting to pour His Spirit out in you, wanting you to live a life of fullness. And it is our job to put ourselves, to practice, if you will, these five things, to place ourselves in a fillable spot, if you will, to be able to be filled with the Spirit. Here are the five things. They're contained in participles. Those are all words ending in ing. And the participles all modify the verb. That's the normal way that Greek participles work. And so they all basically reference back the word that's in the intro. Be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, praising or singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord with your heart, making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. All of those are one thought. And they all magnify, they all modify, be being filled with the Spirit. This is how you do it, if you will. And so last week we talked about this idea. The first we got through the first two, and I'm taking the slow road here. I think I can finish. I did it on the first service, so I think I can do it. The first one is this idea of speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now we talked about this idea that the Spirit will fill us as we speak to each other the things of God. But let's just get a little bit more practical. In a worship time, and I'm seeding this in at this point in time, that in your quiet time, those of you that do spend time with Jesus during the week, and if you don't, that God will put a scripture on your heart. He will resound something. He'll let something have a sense of resonance inside of you. And sometimes that's a word that other people need to know. And so as we worship God, as we sing these things, we leave time for people to be able to read passages of scripture out loud. And so I'm saying this to you as a hint that when we get to that part here, that perhaps God has put a scripture on your heart and it's something that you can say out loud and it's something that's scripted and so there's no harm in it. And unless you pick a psalm that says, go kill all their children and dash their heads on rocks, you know, things like that, then it's going to be a good thing for everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is part of normal Christian worship. And we sing psalms and hymns, the psalms, the Old Testament psalms, hymns, you know, contemporary songs, and we have many of those. And spontaneous songs or songs of the Spirit are likely either songs being spoken of in tongues or spontaneous songs that just come up and just erupt up. And we talked about that some last week as well. So you've got psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and God reveals Himself, some dimension of Himself as we do these things and we're filled up by the Spirit. I love the way that C.S. Lewis put it. He said, it is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates His presence to people. It's in that process of worship that God communicates Himself and He loves revealing Himself in that way. Now, something I didn't say last week that I think is important to the discussion. In the old translations, some of you might have a King James or something of that sort. If you have a King James version, then your particular, in this passage it says, speaking to yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, there's the newer translations, speaking to one another, a little bit different angle. Both of these are fair angles in looking at this Greek word and how this is constructed. And so speaking to yourselves is something that's very biblical as well. Think about this. Psalm 42, David says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet again praise Him. And he speaks to himself, praise the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me praise His holy name. And there's a self-talk about this. And when you begin to insert your own name, when you begin to speak the Psalms to yourself, if you will, that when you do that, you experience a kind of filling from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you need to do that just to insert your name in the personal pronoun spot of any particular scripture that you're talking of, that you're reading, and then pray that back to the Lord. And as you pray that back, you will start to feel full. Because it's one of the ways that it works, that we fill ourselves up by reciting the Scripture, by building ourselves up in our most holy faith. You with me so far? This is something that you can do. You can do this. It's very powerful. I was at Westmont College in 1978. And I didn't know how to worship the Lord, and I didn't really understand how any of this stuff worked, but I knew that David probably did. And so I went to East Beach at Santa Barbara, and I would sit, I would stand up, you know, the waves would sort of push the sand onto like a little sort of a cornice, and I would stand up on top of there, and I would read the Scriptures at midday. I was working a job as well. I'd read the Scriptures at the top of my lungs at midday, the Psalms out loud to the Lord, because I thought if there's anybody that could teach me how to worship, David can. And I read it and read it. I had some really interesting conversations with people like, are you nuts? I said, perhaps. But I am committed to learn how to worship God. And this guy named David in the Bible, he knows. He knows how this works. And so I sort of yoked myself with David in this. And as I did, the Spirit of God began to fill up my life. There's something very powerful about speaking the words of God. About making that public and out loud. Sometimes you need to be able to declare in the midst of a very difficult situation what the Scripture says. And you almost have to declare it into the circumstance. How many of you have done that before? A lot of us have. And you know that that's very powerful when in the midst of this storm that's assailing me, I stand and I speak the Word of God back to it and the storm will cease. At least for a time. It's very powerful. And you fill yourself up in the Holy Spirit by doing this. A second thing that Paul says is that we fill ourselves up by singing or praising, that the Spirit will fill us up as we begin to praise Him out loud. Now, I want to ask you, and this is somewhat rhetorical, I asked in the first service, I got two shows of hands, very disappointing. How many of you did this last week? You started actually intentionally praising God when you weren't doing that before. So don't raise your hand because I don't want to be disappointed again. But I'm asking you this because this is a command from God. That's the best thing for you. Get your praiser going. And it's going to take some volition because sometimes I think our downness will kind of hem us in and we'll feel almost, you know, completely wrapped up like a blanket in our sorrow. And sometimes we just got to declare our way out of it. I love the song that we sing that we haven't sung in a long time, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, by Matt Redman. Matt and Beth Redman wrote that song right after she had miscarried their first baby. And in the midst of all that pain, you know, blessed be your name. When I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you poured out, I will turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. And in that, there's power in that. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you really need to hear this. Some of you need to stand in the midst of the darkness that's assailing to you and start speaking the truth to what's assailing you. See what happens. I want to tell you, it will change things and it will change you. It will change you. Now that brings us to the portion of our scripture. That's all by way of review. This morning, the third thing is, he says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, the word here in the Greek is literally to pluck the strings in song. And so, Paul is saying to us that the Spirit will fill us as we direct our hearts in song to Him. In Psalm 45, David speaks this out. He says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite these verses. I was grilling out in our backyard a couple of weeks ago, probably a month ago, and we had just learned that song, Overcome. And I just could not stop singing, all authority, every victory is yours. All authority. Where's the charcoal? Every victory. Is the meat ready yet? Is yours. And I just continued to sing that. And as I did, I felt very much carried along by the Lord. And you guys, you remember that. I was kind of improvising. Actually, I was singing the request as well. Where's the charcoal? And those different things. But there's a song in the heart. And sometimes the heart song can be embarrassing. But so what? So what? If this is like being drunk, then fill me up in this. You know, that I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit as much as I possibly can. So David says, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. What it could look like for you is this, that you open up the Scriptures and you read something and you read until something zings you. You don't read just to say, did that. You read the Scripture looking for the voice of Jesus, and once you hear the voice of Jesus, then you reflect and you meditate upon that. Maybe you craft a little melody with it. This last week I did it, was sitting with my acoustic guitar. I was looking at 1 Samuel 11. In this particular chapter, the people of Israel are basically being held hostage by the Philistines. And the Spirit of God comes upon Saul, King Saul, this very, very flawed and Bozo-esque leader. And the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he rallies all of Israel, an army of 330,000 troops. And they go, and it says that on the Israelites, the terror of the Lord fell on God's people. They united as one man, and then they attacked the Philistines and liberated all the nation of Israel. Because of that, the Spirit of God came on them. So I just started to play a D chord, a very, you know, subtle, just very lightly, in my office, and I just was playing that and just started, and then played a G chord, and then played a D chord, and just said, raise up an army, O God. And then I started singing it, raise up an army, O God. Raise up an army, O God. Raise up an army, O God. Let your Spirit come. And I just started to sing it. And as I sang, the presence of the Lord came into the room. I was just doing this. Now, some of you, if you did that, you might be embarrassed. I'm a singer. But God isn't embarrassed, not in the least. That's why there's a joyful noise that you can make. But you can start to sing these things and say them and proclaim them. We didn't have a chance to do this, but as I finished doing that on Tuesday, I sent out a text to Seth and said, Seth, we've got to come up with a couple of very easy chord progressions, very gentle, and just do them for 10 minutes, and we'll record those, and then we'll make them available for the church on CD, like I don't know, four or five of them. And you can just have that playing, and you can just sing on top of it. Very, very easy. Easy stuff. Super easy. And then in that, it's just transportation. Really, all we're doing up here with our instruments is providing quality, hopefully, transportation for you to enter in and bless the Lord, to worship Him and adore Him. That's what this music is about. It's transportation for you to move in the presence of God. And so we want to help, help you out with that, if you will. You can hum these things. I've heard people even just whistling these things. It really doesn't work for me very well, but I've heard people whistling worship songs and doing this, that they've hummed, or you can sing. You can put your MP3 player on, whatever, or your phone. I think that's replaced basically the MP3 player for the most part now. But you have all of these vehicles. We will, next week probably, I think we can do it next week, we will provide, I promise, so that'll make me have to do it. We'll provide you with a list of all the worship songs that we do and what CDs they're on, so that if you want to download this at a buck a piece, legitimately not bootlegged, that you can have those on your hard drive and on your phone so that you can listen to those things. Tony Chernis, every time I see him, he's like, Bob, you got to hear this. And he always is giving me some kind of a song reflecting and singing on the love of God, on the grace of God. He's like, you got to hear this. And there's always some ghastly long thing that I actually have to really dial my RPMs down to enter in. And he's like, isn't that great? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, my RPMs are too high right now to be able to get that. But Tony is a pest control guy. He has a pest control business. So he goes around killing bugs and praising Jesus. But that's what he does all the time. He listens to these things, and he's one of these guys that if you are around him, you see a person who's full. He lives full, and there's a reason, because he's tanking up on the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? The fourth thing is he says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, the Spirit will fill us as we get our thanker going. And thanks is very, very powerful. As we start to thank the Lord, things begin to change, our perspective changes, and it begins to move us into the very things of God. Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you want to walk in the will of God, which all of us, I think, pretty much do in this room, I want to know the will of God, I want to walk in it, I can tell you how you can do that right this very second. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. No matter what the plan is or what's happening during the day, you want to walk in the will of God, start thanking. Thankfulness, it brings a kind of power into our lives. It brings a kind of perspective that nothing else does. If you are in a dark season, start thanking. You'll get full. Thankfulness changes everything. There have been seasons in my life where I kept a thanks journal where I did nothing in the journal except for just said, F-I-T-Y, fitty, Father, I thank you. And I just started to write what I'm thankful for. First day, 5, 6, 8 things. Second day, 20, 25 things. Fourth day, 100 and something things and people and all these different things. Why? Because when you get thankful, you start to see the expansive involvement of the Lord in everything that's going on around you, and you start filling up with the Holy Spirit. You with me so far? We thank Him in the name of Jesus, because every good thing that comes to you comes because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Every single thing that has come that's good in your life has come because one paid the price for all of us. One. Jesus. And He paid the price for every single one of us. And so our thanks is very Christocentric, if you will, that it says in Hebrews chapter 13 that we need to offer continually a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. That these are mandates for us. And you get your thanker going and it does something to you. Philippians 4:7-8. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray with thanksgiving. So what's the antidote to anxiety? Prayer and thankfulness. You get your thanker going and it changes everything. And it says that you with that thankfulness, you make your request to God, and the peace of God then comes and guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You get your thanker going and it changes everything. Again, thanks is one way that God has said, this is one of the ways that you can live full. Start thanking. So how can you live full? Start thanking. So far we said speaking to ourselves or speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks in all circumstances and for everything to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Four different ways that you can tank up in the Holy Spirit, that you can fill yourself up. Now the fifth one seems almost a, blah, 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 blah. What are you talking about? How does this relate? Submitting to one another out of the fear of Christ is indeed a way of being able to fill yourself up in the Holy Spirit. It is one of these ways that will never make sense to this world, but it always makes sense from a heavenly point of view. This is a kingdom of God principle, that the Spirit will fill us as we humbly submit with a devotional and reverential eye on Jesus. Now, God is a king, and in a kingdom, everyone submits. Would you agree with that? In a kingdom, everyone submits. But in the midst of it, the way that He has said it is that everyone submits to Me, and everyone submits on this horizontal plane as well. And this is what brings us next week into the marriage text. And here's what it says literally, and it's being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another, singing, making melody in your heart, thanking, submitting wives to your husbands as to the Lord. The next sentence actually doesn't have the word submit in it, even though your translations do. It isn't there. Submitting to one another out of the fear of Christ, wives to your husbands as to the Lord. And so Paul is saying, this is how the male and the female, the husband and the wife, in a marriage context, work out the mutual submission dynamic. No one gets out of submitting. And God has said that when you submit, there's a yielding that goes on in the human heart. And that yielding puts you in a fillable place. Submission takes willful yielding, doesn't it? Think about it for a moment. You yield, and as you yield, the Lord fills you up. Becky and I have practiced this for a good amount of years. I heard when I was a young believer this teaching that you could come to one mind and that's the way that you could find out the will of God. And here's the process, and here's what we do. When we have to make a big decision, this has nothing to do with breakfast cereal or what we're going to have for dinner or anything like that, but all the big decisions where we really got to, we need, you know, good input and good unity, we sit down and we together before God, we pray and we get our filthy hands off of everything. We submit everything to God and say, Lord, I renounce my agenda. I do not have to represent this. I will not try to get my way. I completely and totally surrender this to you. Every single bit of it. Becky does the same thing. And we submit these things to Jesus and we submit to each other at the same time. Then we just start a dialogue. Whether it's, you know, how are we going to finance the kids' education, or are we going to buy this car? Are we going to buy this house? Or any of the major decisions. And we sit there and we just start to dialogue. Now it's not charged because no one's trying to get their way, which typically, usually one person is, well, my opinion is actually better than yours. Actually, we think that even though we would never say it. Because we would just look dumb by saying it. But in this particular case, we're truly submitted one to another. That we're submitted and we talk and as we do, well, what do you think about that? Well, this seems like that, and we kind of pull it apart and we look at things, but because it's not charged any longer and there's this yieldedness to it, there's a beautiful kind of dance that goes on with that whole thing. And then finally, when we do have the will of God, it's like everything kind of comes into concert with each other, and we're submitted to each other, we're submitted to God, and we are. Now we have this beautiful unity, and we know that we have the will of God because there's a release of the Holy Spirit and of joy. And we know that we have it. There's no doubt. We know it. It's verifiable. You know, that there's a release of joy in that. We practice this all the time. We have for our entire married life. It works submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this fear of the Lord idea, this is a very biblical idea, both Old and New Testament. Fearing God. And the word here is not reverence. I think our scholars just have a hard time, and our society on the whole has a hard time with being scared of somebody that you love. But we do with our dads all the time. You perhaps have used this term, if I did that, he would kill me. And I think that's universal. I think that everyone in every language uses that term in some way, shape, or form. That there's a fear and there's a love at the same time. But this is the God of the universe, of which you are a tiny pipsqueak. Just like an ant. And he loves you with everything that he is. But he also doesn't mess around. He's completely and totally just. And so we fear him. So here's an image that might help this to compute a little bit more. Let's just say that here's a person in the body of Christ that you're going to submit yourself to, and you're going to mutually submit. And you picture the Revelation chapter 1, revelation of Jesus, eyes like blazing fire, feet like bronze glowing in a furnace, you know, hair white as wool. Jesus in this glorified form, and of which the Apostle John looks at him and he falls down as though a dead man. This is like, and this is the apostle that Jesus loved, that had his head on Jesus's, you know, chest at the table. And now John falls down as though a dead man. He sees the glorified Christ. Yikes. And the way that I see this in my mind's eye is, here's the person that I'm submitting to, and behind them is the glorified Christ. And so it's like, oh. And so you see superimposed around him the glorified Christ. I fear him, and I love him with all of my heart. And so I can gladly yield in that. But this yielding idea is one of the ways that God has said, I will fill you this way. Think about it for a moment. When you're most yielded, there's a sense in which you have to empty yourself of your rebellion and your resistance to be yielded. You're fillable when you're yielded. Now, Some of you are infected enough by the world's point of view that this is really hyper offensive to you. But I want to tell you that what I'm saying to you is evidence throughout the Scripture. This is not nothing new. That the submitted heart is the heart that God loves to fill. He just loves it. But there's got to be an emptying to be able to do that. As I was, I sent an email out to a number of leaders and people that I respect with regard to what do they do to fill themselves in the Holy Spirit. And two of them notably had said that they actually spend some time emptying themselves out before they do, because they feel like that so many other things are filling and getting their attention that they sort of have to empty all of that stuff out from within them so that they can place themselves in a yielded and submitted and fillable place. And I thought, wow, that's actually a profound idea. Because it is very real for us. We're so filled up with other things. And sometimes we have to be emptied out to be able to get that right. Two more things. And then I want to practice this a little bit. The Ephesians 5, Paul's not trying to say these are the only ways that you can do this, but he is giving them verifiable ways to do this. For those of you that are word people, you're thinking, yeah, Bob, but where's the word fit in that whole thing? It fits like this. In Colossians chapter 3, the corollary verse of this, it's really almost the identical thing. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, while teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That is to say that the Word of God and the Spirit of God work in a symbiotic way. They are very dependent on one another in our filling dynamic. That you open the Word of God, listen for the voice of Jesus, and you will find Him. But you know as well as I do, you can open the Word of God, you can just read words on a page, not be looking and listening for the voice of God, and when you do, you will find nothing. But if you open the Word of God every day, I open the Word of God and I know that I'm going to hear the voice of God, and I will read until I do. But you can hear the voice of God. It's part of your birthright. If you're a Christian, this is your birthright to know and to hear the voice of God. But you can, like the Pharisees in John chapter 5, you can be in that place where you diligently search the Scriptures thinking that in them you have life. But those are the very Scriptures that point to me, Jesus says. But you refuse to come to me that I might give you life. And so the Spirit will fill us as we seek and find Jesus in the Word. I want to tell you that every single day you can open up your Bible and you can hear the voice of God, and you will experience fullness by doing so. Now, it's a very safe and super stable way to do that. Wow, that's a lot of S's there. It's very safe and super stable. But it is. It's money. It's money in the bank, folks. It's money in the bank. That's the primary launch pad for you to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second one goes with that. Another way that you can be filled or experience the Spirit's filling is simply by what the Scripture calls praying in the Spirit. You mean you can be Spirit-filled by praying in the Spirit? When the Scripture talks about this, it's talking about praying in tongues. If you speak in tongues, this would be one of these things where you can pray in tongues and God will. There's a filling effect. There's a building up effect that goes with it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a comparison that's going on with the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Paul is not dissing the gift of tongues. What Paul is saying is that one of these things is primarily beneficial for you personally, and the other one is primarily beneficial for the body on the whole. And we need to be aiming when we're together with the body at the things that build up the body. But listen to what he says about praying in tongues. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So there's an upward direction. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. That there's a building up effect that goes on. If you can speak in tongues and you don't, then you should be. I mean, over the years, I've talked to so many Christians that have received the gift of tongues at one point in time, and they never use it at all. And I think, lean into this. You know that God doesn't give you anything that's a waste. Paul says in verse 15, in verse 5, he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. And in verse 15, I will pray with my spirit, meaning he'll pray with in tongues, and I will pray with my understanding or with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, singing in tongues, and I will sing with my understanding. I've had some of my most memorable times and meaningful times with Christians singing in tongues. Very powerful, very meaningful. Now, for some of you that are on the outside of this, you think, now you've gone too far, Bob. Now you're nuts. But what I've just said to you is in black and white in the Scripture. It's in black and white in the Scripture. It's something that's a biblical reality for us. At the Springs, we want to usher people into a full experience of biblical spirituality. Not extra-biblical spirituality, biblical spirituality. Now, if you think that that's safe, there's a lot of weird things in the Bible, all right? So seriously, I think a lot of us think, wow, oh, it's not going to get any weirder than it is in the Bible. And you take comfort in that? That's scary. Even so, God wants to move in this place. God wants to move in you. And he's given us all of these different ways that he can come and fill us up. And now we need to start doing it. It's our responsibility. I have a football in my hand. I am handing this off to you. Now it's your part. Now it's your turn. Our times together as a church are so much better if you come full. If you come here just to get filled every week, well, that's okay. It's a very much a second best. But if that's all that you've got, then it's all that you've got. But if you come full, now God can use you in the midst of this time and minister powerfully to people. Now you become His secret agent, man. Now you become God's ambassador to other people here, bringing His goods, His resources to others. It's incredible if you live full, and God has said, here's how you live full. And so I'm saying to you this morning, as your pastor, let's live full. How about it? Okay, all you Holy Ghost people are like, whoa, yeah, okay. Now, last thing. To all of you that are not Holy Ghost people, and what I mean by that is that this has not been your normal experience. I want to talk to you for just a moment. I want to ask you to trust me. And I realize I'm going out on a limb with you by doing so. I am so ravenously committed to the witness of Scripture and to pastoring things within clear biblical boundaries. And God really wants to move in our midst in a very powerful way, in a way that exceeds us, in a way that sometimes is going to be difficult to interpret because it's God, and He's big. He's not a tame lion, but He's good. And we can trust Him. And I want to ask you to trust me because I'm not going to let something happen to you that will harm you. That's part of my responsibility and the leadership's responsibility at this church. But we want to experience, and we want you so much with all of our hearts to experience every dimension of biblical spirituality, not just a little subset that's safe. And the American church is stuck in safe. But the rest of the world, the two-thirds world, isn't stuck in safe. And that's the reason why the gospel is going forth in power there, and it's not here. We are stuck in safe. And I say, we need to be stuck in faith, not in safe. And so that's what we're trying to do. What are we trying to do to you? Really, we're just trying to get to release the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do to us what He's already said He wants to do. And so as we worship here, and I'm going to get up, worship team, why don't you come up? We're going to do this. We're going to practice this just a little bit. We're going to do some of this spontaneous song. And I'm going to sing the song, I'm going to lead us in, and I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, that old song. And Becky, I know you don't like this one all that much, but humor me, all right? And we're going to sing this song, and then at a certain point in the song, I'm going to just start singing spontaneously on it. And I'm going to ask you, you could stay on the melody, or you can just begin to kind of work off the melody. And if you sound bad, it's okay with me. But we're going to sing and we're going to let the Holy Spirit fill us as we give ourselves give him the chance doing these spirit songs that the Scripture promises us. Amen? Now, some of you, the Lord might put a psalm on your heart. And if he does, then you should read that when we give time in between songs to be able to do that. You should just read that out loud to the Lord. Let's stand up.